Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Irish History Podcast. My name is Finn Dwyer, and this is A History of the Knights Templar in Ireland. This episode looks at a forgotten chapter in our history, the story of the Knights Templar on the island. The podcast is from a much longer interview with Maeve Callan, which is available on Acast Plus. But in this show, you'll hear the intriguing early history of these warrior monks in Ireland. Founded in the midst of the Crusades, they played a crucial role in the Christian attempts to carve out a medieval kingdom in the Middle East during the late Middle Ages. When this ended in defeat with the fall of the city of Acre in 1291, a new and even more sensational chapter in the history of the Templars began. Within 20 years, they found themselves in a bitter conflict with one of the most ruthless men of the age, Philip the Fair, the King of France. This would lead to the dramatic downfall of the Templars, a story which has inspired countless works of fiction and more than a few conspiracies. But the real history of these events is more intriguing than any novel. Now, while we associate the Templars with the Middle East, in this podcast I interview Maeve Callan, an expert in the history of the Templars in Ireland. Maeve explains how they had a long history on the island, which came to a sensational end when the order was disbanded in the dramatic events of the early 14th century that led to their downfall. This episode is an exclusive excerpt from the full interview, which is available now on Acast Plus. Acast Plus is a new feature where listeners like you support my research and work and in return get hours of exclusive bonus episodes. These include podcasts on topics such as the life of Charles Edward Trevelyan, the Land War, and the story of Alexander Pearse, the notorious Irish cannibal convict. There's hours of exclusive extra episodes already there and more being added all the time. Each month, as an Acast Plus listener, you'll also get access to a bonus episode where I interview historians. Only available to supporters of the show, these are deep dives into fascinating chapters in Irish history, like the intriguing story of the Knights Templar, part of which you're about to hear. The icing on the cake of Acast Plus is that all your episodes over there, both exclusive shows and regular content, will be ad-free. You can sign up really easily right now and get the full interview on the Knights Templar and these exclusive features by following the links to Acast Plus in the show notes below. Finally, I want to say, I know these have been very difficult times for us all, and you're being asked left, right and centre to support the shows you listen to, so I really appreciate your support. It means a lot. Now, without further ado, the story of the Knights Templar. This excerpt begins when I asked my guest, Maeve Callan, to explain the background of the order.
They originated around 1119, some will say 1118, some will say 1120. They are rising specifically in the context of Jerusalem and the idea of what Western European Christians consider winning back the Holy Land for Christ. The first crusade was called in 1095, so this is about 25 years after the first crusade. And so there had been a long tradition of going on pilgrimage to the Middle East and you know, going to see where Jesus lived and died and resurrected and the church began and all of that. There was some sense that the Templars were going to protect these pilgrims, but also participate in the Crusades. So things went well. by their standards, for them in the 12th century, and for the Crusades were much more successful in the 12th century than they ever were afterwards. Success, you know, obviously is a relative definition, and there's lots to criticize there. But as far as like winning property or gaining land and that sort of thing, and being victorious in battle, they were much more successful in the 12th century. And they, in the 13th century, they were losing what they'd won. And by 1291, they had lost their last bit of land that they had possession of. And so the Templars were kicked out of the Holy Land. I mean, so were other Crusaders, you know, it wasn't just the Templars. So the Templars were, from the outset, a combination of monk and warrior, which is they're at odds with each other. I mean, obviously both were really essential for medieval European culture. The way they understood what was important in their lives, you needed both monks and you needed warriors, but you would think that they were two very separate roles. And here you have them combined as one. And in addition to that, they took on a third role that also seems very different from both of those two roles, and that is the role of banker. So they had temple houses or preceptories, and you could use that if you were not a Templar. I mean, if you were a Templar, you could too, but to outsiders, they could store their wealth with the Templars. And then they could arrange to withdraw that wealth from other temple houses. And the Templars were throughout Western European Christendom. So this gave the Templars access to a lot of wealth and further power, in addition to being military monks. So now one of the things is that there were anti-usury laws. So you couldn't, one of the ways bankers make money today is through charging interest, you know, various rates for loaning money and things like that. And you can't do that, but you can still charge fees and other things associated with gaining wealth from other people's wealth. So at 1291, they had failed in what was supposed to be their primary purpose, which is, again, you can't see I'm doing quotation marks on Zoom or the podcast, but winning back the Holy Land for Christ, which is how the propaganda that Western European Christendom Christians told themselves. So it was seen as a judgment of God that they failed. If they had been virtuous, if they had been the kind of people God wanted to have possession of the Holy Land, then they would have succeeded. So there was a sense that if they failed, it was their fault in some way, and they were morally suspect.
Given our discussion focused on the order in Ireland, I asked Maeve to paint a picture of Irish society at this time.
You know, one of the answers that I think my students tend to hate what I say all the time, but whenever they ask a question, the answer is always, well, it depends. You know, there's never just a simple, straightforward answer. So the question is, where, when, at what time, among whom in a particular group. But so the time of the Templars, so basically you're going from 1119 to 1312, because 1312 is when the order is formally dissolved and suppressed. And that period of time was incredibly transitional for Ireland. I mean, really, what time isn't, but that is like, we're still feeling the effects of that time today, that packed punch in a lot of ways. And, you know, the major event that people will point to is the invasion of the Anglo-Normans or the English or whatever word people like to use for the people from the bigger island to the east who invaded Ireland. And that obviously is very, very, one of the most significant events in Irish history, all told. And so for about 80, 90, 100 years, the English, as we can call them at some point during this time, in Ireland were much more successful in controlling the island. But then in the middle of the 13th century, the Irish started winning back their land more and more and more. And so when we get to the beginning of the 14th century, which is when the Templar trial takes place, then the English really are only controlling pockets of the island. And even in the areas where the English are controlling things, a lot of them have, sort of as the expression is in certain places, gone native. They've adopted Irish customs. They've adopted Irish language. They're you know, more Irish culturally than they are similar to people back in England. Ireland is really a land divided as far as the Irish controlling more and more areas, and the land where the colony and the native Irish meet is what gets called a land of war. They're constantly skirmishing and doing things. So there's a lot of violence that goes on between the invaders / colonizers and the native Irish.
Then we moved on to the history of the Knights Templar in Ireland, and Maeve began by explaining how they probably arrived in the entourage of Henry II, the first King of England to visit Ireland when he arrived in 1171.
They may have come as part of Henry's entourage when he was here in 1171, 1172, but we don't know that for sure. The first record we have of a Templar in Ireland is in 1177, and he's just noted as, I think his name is Matthew, and he's Matthew the Templar. That's all the information that we have about him. Then in 1185, we have Walter Templar of Clontarf. And so Clontarf is you know, just to the north of Dublin there, and it's a Templar house. By that time, there's a house already, meaning like a monastery kind of thing, but for Templars. So we know they had a house from that point on. I think there's been about 45 Templar houses in Ireland that have been identified. There might be more on that. I have to check on the number, but most of them are concentrated in the more obvious colonial areas. There's really only one that's in Sligo that would seem to be much further outside of the colony, although there were colonists there at one point. And it's an interesting point of history that according to the historical record, as far as like the textual record goes, all of the Templar houses were really controlled and housed and founded and everything by colonists, not native Irish people. But there is apparently a family tradition that says that a native Irish person was the original person who granted the land of Temple House, but there's no like documentary evidence to back that up. The main things that we know about Templars are like in letters that reference what the king wants Templars to do or to not do. And they seem really more like lords than anything else. Like in addition to being monks who are also soldiers, they're also bankers. And then they're also basically like farmer lords too. But we can't know for sure like how they lived their lives.
The other major military order of warrior monks, the Knights Hospitaller, were also active in Ireland, and they played a major role in the governance of the Norman colony on the island, with several members of that order holding high office. However, as Maeve now explains, the Templars were somewhat different and acted in a more withdrawn fashion.
They do not seem as integrated into the administration of the colony, even as the Hospitallers do. And so the Hospitallers are the other main military order, and they were much more integrated into the government administration in Ireland. And they also provided military service, as you would expect a military order to be. But whenever we see references to Templars and military service in Ireland, they're always protecting their right not to be involved in that, which is very curious because that's supposed to be their main purpose, is to be as military orders. But in Ireland, they didn't participate in that. So it's quite curious. They're different. The Templars in Ireland seem very different, even to the Hospitallers in Ireland. And then they seem very different than Templars in England or in Scotland or definitely in France or elsewhere.
If you want to hear the full interview with historian Maeve Callan that covers the sensational and spectacular downfall of the Templars in Ireland, check out the links for Acast Plus below. It's all there. And as I said, you also get hours of episodes you haven't heard before, and all that content is ad-free. Until next time, Slán.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.